you'll find descriptions of real events and actual confessions of demonic encounters in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January, Afraid, Demon Possession and Spiritual Warfare in America. It's written by Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Robert Bennett. Afraid is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. Afraid, Demon Possession and Spiritual Warfare in America. Stanza 4 of the hymn, How Firm a Foundation, sung by the Concordia Seminary Lutheran Hour Chorus. It's Christ in the Old Testament, going to Isaiah chapter 43. Not only do we go into a chapter that is not as well known as others, it's just chock full of references to Christ, both subtle and overt, but also we embark on a new season. As of yesterday, Epiphany. We are in the season of Epiphany, and this Old Testament reading is the first one that we encounter. So live this Thursday, January the 7th, our series, Christ in the Old Testament, with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer, pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico, and host of a weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy. Brian, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hey, it's great to be here, Todd.
First of all, let's talk about how Isaiah 43 fits in the context of the season of Epiphany that we're embarking on.
Yeah, well, I think that what first you would look at is this conversion of the Gentiles. We always talk about, you see Christ in these Old Testament passages when the Gentiles are being converted. And yet again, you see this in chapter 43 of Isaiah. After all, Epiphany is the Gentile Christmas, right? And so you'll see this specifically in verses 6 and 7, where Yahweh says, I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, do not withhold, bring my sons from afar, and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. And so you'll see this language of in the scripture, the Jews are those who are near, that's Israel. Those who are far, that's the Gentiles, the Goyim. And so when he calls out to those who are afar, he brings them and he gathers them. And so this is the conversion of the Gentiles, and specifically you have everyone who is called by my name, which of course would include both Jew and Gentile, those of course who are baptized into the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, you'll also have in the very next verse this recreating or restoring eyes to see and ears to hear, which again flows into Gentile conversion. Now, we will talk more about that later. But I think that primarily when we talk about Epiphany, not only are we talking about a Gentile Christmas, but we're also talking about God in flesh made manifest. And you'll see in this chapter a couple of very particular passages that display to us the deity of Christ. And so if we could zero in, if you look at verse 10, this in which you have Yahweh saying, you are my witnesses, declares Yahweh, and my servant whom I've chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Now, that's a very unique phrase. This phrase that I am he, this is what God will say. He'll say this back at Deuteronomy. But, of course, we know this from when Jesus talks about this in John's gospel. You'll start off like in John chapter 4, where Jesus is talking with the woman at the well, and then he says to the woman who says that, I know the Messiah is coming, and then Jesus responds, and he says, I who speak to you am he. I am he. And these go into all these I am statements in John's gospel. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection of life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And, of course, I am the vine. And this is this I am he, which is also unique in John chapter 18, in which Jesus is speaking, and Jesus says he knows that all things will happen to him, and they came forward to him, and they ask the questions, who are you in the garden? And Jesus says, well, whom do you seek? This is in John chapter 18. And they say, Jesus of Nazareth. And, of course, this is where Jesus says, I am he. I am the one that you're looking for. I am Yahweh himself. And also in Isaiah 43, if you drop down to verse 13, you see where Jesus says, I am he, and there is none who can deliver from my hand. I work, and I am the one who can, and who is the one who could turn back what I do. And so here he says, I am he, and none can deliver from my hand. Now that's a very unique passage that you have back in Deuteronomy chapter 32, in which Yahweh says, see now that I, even I, am he, and there is not a God besides me, and I put to death, and I give life, I wound, and I heal, and there is not one who delivers from my hand. So back in Deuteronomy 32, this is the claim of Yahweh. No one can deliver out of my hand. Isaiah has this same voice of God echoing that no one can deliver out of my hand. And then you go to John's Gospel, chapter 10, when Jesus says, I am the good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. And he says, my sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they will never perish forever. And no one can seize them out of my hand. And so I think that when you're talking about the Epiphany, here's a very clear passage that Jesus is using that we might not look at because we might not know these connections between Isaiah 43 and, of course, Deuteronomy 32, this claim of Jesus of divinity, that he is none other than Yahweh, and no one can take you out of Yahweh's hand. For there is no other God, there is no other Savior.
So the first place, kind of go through the various ways that we can see Christ in Isaiah 43, and you've referred to all of them, or at least alluded to some of them here. The first one is Christ in the one who blots out transgressions, again, beginning with that famous word, I am he.
And so here in chapter 43, this is kind of the verse we would want to focus on for the whole entire chapter, in which Christ says, I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. Now, of course, this is in contrast in this same chapter to what the unfaithful servant has done. We've talked about this before in Isaiah, where you have the juxtaposition of the faithful servant, who is Christ, who suffers in our stead, and the unfaithful servant of earthly Israel who will not listen. And in this chapter 43, you have that contrast. So on the one hand, here's what unfaithful Israel has done. You did not call me, O Jacob, for you have become weary of me, O Israel. You have not brought me your sheep for a burnt offering, nor honored me with your sacrifice. I have not made you serve with offerings, nor have I made you weary with frankincense. You have not brought to me spice and reed with money, or satisfied me with the fat of your sacrifices. But what you have done is you have burdened me with your sins. You have made me weary with your iniquities. Now, this is Christ. So this is our God, the one who comes to save us. And how does he do this? He is burdened with our sin, and he is wearied with our iniquity. And then he turns around and says, now that I've been burdened and wearied, what do? I am he, the one who blots out your transgressions for my sake, and I will not remember your sins. And later on in Isaiah 44, he once again says and echoes the same thing, saying, I have wiped your transgressions out like a cloud and your sins like a mist. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. So this is what Christ comes to do. He is burdened and wearied with our iniquities and sin, but he's the one who blots out. He's the one who does not remember anymore. Even this whole language of the blotting out and wiping out, this macha, this is the word that's used back in Genesis chapter 6 for the flood, in which the flood blots out, it wipes away, it exterminates all the living things. But here now, what God does is he takes the same word and says, I'm going to be the one who's going to blot out, exterminate, and get rid of your sin. And also in Isaiah chapter 26, he'll use the same verb, the same Hebrew word, to talk about what he will do with tears and wipe them away from ever when he swallows up death. So that death itself is exterminated. This is what our God comes to do, is to blot out transgressions and remember our sin no more.
Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is our guest. It's our series with him every week, Christ in the Old Testament. We're in Isaiah chapter 43 on this Thursday afternoon, January the 7th. When we come back, we'll talk about Christ in the one who is the creator and the redeemer, a very particular word there that we'll get into with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer. Stay tuned.
Come and experience firsthand by sitting down in classes and actually hearing professors, coming to chapel, which is always the high point of the day, to hear the Word of God and to lift our voices in song.
Issues, etc. Regular guest Dr. Paul Grimm on why you should consider visiting Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Spend time talking to professors. I mean, there's not a professor here who will not be willing to take time, whether it's after chapel during the coffee hour or just to come into one study and sit down and talk for a while, to answer questions, to help them to get a sense of, A, do they want to be a pastor or a deaconess? And then B, is this the right place? And, well, maybe C would be the question, is now the right time for them to make that decision?
If you've contemplated the vocation of pastor or deaconess, contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, or send an email to admission@ctsfw.edu.
The people of Zion Lutheran Church, East Moline, Illinois, invite you to discover the blessings that await you here. At Zion, we proclaim a gospel of free grace for all. No one ever falls too low to find forgiveness and peace with God in Christ Jesus. To learn more, visit us at zionem.com or join us on Sunday at 9 a.m. Zion is located at 17618 Hubbard Road in rural East Moline, Illinois.
Imagine SteadfastLutherans.org as the internet version of your neighborhood pub. Your neighborhood confessional Lutheran pub, that is, where the finest in Lutheran conversation is going on at every table and at the bar, sometimes contentious, but always informative and unabashedly Lutheran. We're only serving Wittenberg Ale. We even have a guy named Norm, so check us out. www.steadfastlutherans.org. We'll save a seat at the bar for you.
More topics, more guests, more Jesus. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues, Etc. 300. Redeemer Lutheran, Mandeville, Louisiana. Our Savior Lutheran, Whitefish Bay, Wisconsin. Christ Lutheran, Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Emmanuel Lutheran, Louisville, Nebraska. Grace Lutheran, Warminster, Pennsylvania. Trinity Lutheran, Valonia, Indiana. Emmanuel Lutheran, Pensacola, Florida. St. Athanasius Lutheran, Vienna, Virginia. And Emmaus Lutheran, St. Louis, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues, Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues, Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues, Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues, Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're looking at Christ in the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 43. Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is our guest. He's pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico, and host of the weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy. You'll find a link to it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click listen on demand. Another way that you say we can find Christ here in Isaiah 43 is as the creator and the redeemer. Talk about both of those terms.
Well, again, we know from John's Gospel, chapter 1, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and everything that came into existence through the Word. He is the Creator, the Incarnate One. And so he's the one who's created all things. Everything came in existence by the Word of God, and he is the one who is the Redeemer. Now, this language of Redeemer here, we've talked about this before, this is Goel. And this one in particular talks about the mystery of the Incarnation, because this is to redeem, to ransom. This has to do with a repayment for lost property, purchasing back from slavery. But in particular, with this word, we have this the kinsman redeemer, one who is of our own brotherhood, one who is human with us, who belongs to us, who comes and he takes this human nature to be his own, assumes it. And you have here that this is the one who created, who formed, and he's the one who redeems, and he's the one who calls you by name. Now, we were just talking when we first started about how the John chapter 10 passage, that no one can deliver you out of my hand, that I am the good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. Well, in that John chapter 10 passage, you also have this same terminology, the same language, that he calls his sheep by name. And so here he has called you by name. And this is how the whole chapter opens up. Now, and again, this is a word of comfort to the remnant who will listen. In the previous chapter 42, they won't listen. They have eyes that are blind, they have ears that are deaf, and they're the ones who continue to burden and continue to reject Christ, God, and God is the one who continues to come to seek and to save them. But in this passage about redeeming, he also says this later on in verse 14, that thus says Yahweh, your Redeemer. And that's who he is, and that's what he does. He comes to purchase us from slavery to sin, to death and the devil. He comes to win us back that we would be his own, that we would actually be his treasured possession, like you have in Deuteronomy chapter 7, that a people that belongs to him, that is a treasured possession.
The next way is seeing Christ as the one who is with them, and that's kind of what we were, how we started this out, this notion of passing through fire, not be burned, flame not consuming us, through rivers, and they don't overwhelm us. And it's all based on that word, that I will be with you. Talk about that.
This is the language of God being in the midst of his people, redeeming them, saving them, delivering them, the one who continues to make them holy, the one who dwells in their midst. And this whole language here, of course, of the water and the fire, these are the trials, the tribulations. The water in particular, of course, points back to the Exodus, the parting of the Red Sea, in which God was with them, specifically the second person of the Blessed Trinity, was there to deliver them from the hand of Pharaoh, because Pharaoh cannot take them out of his hand. And so with a strong hand and an outstretched arm, he's the one who delivers them out of Egypt because he is with them. Later on in verse 5, again, this word of comfort, fear not. Why? Because I am with you. This is the incarnational language that we have, the language that will be summarized in that name given to the Christ child, Emmanuel. He is God with us. He is there with us in the midst of trials and tribulations. He is there being beneficial to us in the times of the flood and of these fires that purify the believers as they are with him. So this is a word of comfort to the remnant, to have eyes to see the wonderful things that he's doing in the midst of this affliction, and ears to hear this promise that he is with them, suffering for them, and he will continue to gather them and deliver them safely to the promised land.
Well, now, speaking of eyes and ears there, there's this verse 8 here in Isaiah 43, bring out the blind who yet have eyes, who are deaf yet have ears. What's he talking about there?
Well, this goes back to the previous chapter, back in 42, in which he is speaking to his own people who will not listen. And he says, deaf people, listen. Blind people, look in order to see. Who is blind but my servant, or deaf like my messenger whom I sent? This is this rhetorical question. Of course, God knows the answer. The answer is this unfaithful servant, unfaithful Israel, the one who is blind, who cannot see, and who should be seeing the things that God is revealing. Those who are deaf, who will not hear what God is speaking to them. And so that was chapter 42, where he's talking to his own people, but you see the mercy and the love and the compassion of God. His people will not see and they will not listen, but yet his word continues to come in order to open eyes to see and ears to hear. And this is what you have in 42, where he's going to open the blind eyes. He's going to bring the prisoner out from the dungeon and the one who is sitting in darkness. He will lead the blind, and he will cause them to tread on paths that they have not known. And he will make darkness in their presence into light. In the rough places, he'll make level ground. And these are the things he will do, and he will not forsake them. This is the kind of God that they have. And this, of course, points to all of these miracles that Jesus does in the human nature. When he takes upon flesh and blood, he's born of the Virgin, and he comes to restore humanity. And you see this in the miracles that he's doing, where he gives these eyes, these physical eyes, the ability to see physically once again, and these physical ears that cannot hear, this miraculous miracle of opening the ears to hear, so that he can then speak his word to them physically, and then they can spiritually see the truth and spiritually hear God's own voice. And so this is what Jesus is doing when he preaches the kingdom, and he is bringing the kingdom, and he's restoring humanity so that the deaf can hear and the blind can see. And you'll have this movement in Isaiah from this physical healing to the spiritual healing, so that they will actually see and listen to the one true God. And all of this is to comfort those, to assure them that he is their God, and he desires that they would be his people.
That brings us around again to something you mentioned at the very beginning of the conversation, and that is, especially in this Epiphany season, Christ in the conversion of the Gentiles.
So, again, when we talk about these miracles that Jesus performs to open up eyes to see and ears to hear, when we see those miracles, we see this understanding of conversion. The guy who's blind cannot just, out of the act of his own will, decide to see once again, or the one who's deaf decide to hear. Well, this is the reality of the conversion that God himself will bring. And as he brings it to his own people who do not listen and do not see, this points towards God bringing this conversion to the Gentiles who do not see and do not hear, because they don't have God's prophets. They don't have God's prophetic word. And in this passage, when Isaiah is used as a mouthpiece, where God will speak his voice to us, and that God will reveal so that Isaiah the seer, will give to us what he sees. God says, I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from afar. And that's the language that we talked about before, this conversion of the Gentiles, that God is acting here to bring and to gather, to open ears to hear and eyes to see. He's the one who's bringing his people back from all of these places, because he's the one who creates, he's the one who forms and shapes, he's the one who redeems, and he's the one who makes sons and daughters of these people who are sons of darkness by nature. And all of this will, of course, take place in baptismal regeneration, in which he calls us by name in the waters of holy baptism when his name is placed upon us, the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and by grace we are adopted into the family of God. But, of course, none of this can happen without the incarnation. So Christ himself first becomes man in order to reconcile us with God.
With a few minutes here before we take our break, this is how we kind of started our conversation. You said that we see Christ in the one who says, I am he. But there's also a the way it's put here in Isaiah 43, a very exclusive claim. It's not as though he's just one among others. He says, before me no God was formed, nor shall there be any after me. It's not just that he's the best or the biggest. He's the only one that there is. Talk about that.
Yeah, so this is the language that we know that there is only one true God. There is only one who is God by nature. And the claim of the apostles and the apostolic message as they went out to be witnesses to testify this truth was that God himself, the one true God, became man and dwelt among us. And this is not a new God. This is not a different God. This is one in divine essence with the Father and the Holy Spirit. So there is no other God. It's not like you have the Father is a greater God and then the Son is a lesser God. There is only one true God. And he is the only one, and there's none that were formed after him. This is one of these plays on these words where God creates everything, and originally he creates man in his own image, but then fallen man forms these deities in fallen man's image. And so God is playing on this word saying, there is no deity that's been formed. I didn't form one. It's you guys who have formed these false gods into your own fallen image.
Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is our guest. We'll take a break. We got another 10 minutes with him on the other side of the break on this Thursday afternoon, January the 7th. It's our series, Christ in the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 43.
Listen to the best of the church's music for the Epiphany season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the Epiphany season, 24/7. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois, engages young adults in a Christ-centered environment, delivering academic excellence and spiritual growth to develop Christian leaders for tomorrow. We provide a Christ-focused alternative to public high schools. Many of our students receive tuition assistance. To help us provide tuition assistance to more students, go to melhs.org and click on the giving page, or call me, Dr. J. Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Lutheran Talk.
In Lutheranism, I come as a guilty sinner in need of hearing the forgiving words of Christ every single time I gather. Every single time.
Lutheran music. The new Lutheran Public Radio app. Download for iPhone, Android, Windows Phone, and Kindle at issuesetc.org.
Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for January is a follow-up to a previous Book of the Month by Dr. Robert Bennett. The previous one was I Am Not Afraid, talking about spiritual warfare and demon possession. He has followed it up with a new book, Afraid, Demon Possession and Spiritual Warfare in America. If you enjoyed the first, you will enjoy the second. He has actual accounts, real events, and actual confessions of people who have had demonic encounters in America, right here in our postmodern age. You can find out more about Afraid at our website, issuesetc.org, It's on every page of the website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House and order Afraid, Demon Possession, and Spiritual Warfare in America. Their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. It's our series, Christ in the Old Testament. We're in Isaiah chapter 43. Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is our guest. Another place you say we can find him here is, and this comes from verse 13, also henceforth I am he, there is none who can deliver from my hand, I work, and who can turn it back? Now, if we kind of turn this around a little bit, it's not just not being able to deliver from his hand, but we can't be snatched out of his hand. That's how Jesus puts it. Talk about that, if you would, Pastor Ketchelmeyer.
Well, this goes back to the Exodus. You know, you have Pharaoh who he's got a hold of the Israelites, and he's not going to let them go. But God is going to just take them out of the hand of Pharaoh, and God delivers them. He seizes them out of Pharaoh's hand, and then God makes a promise to his people, no one can take you out of my hand, not your enemy Pharaoh, not your enemy the devil or death or sin. Nothing can take you out of God's secure hand. And this is the image that Jesus will use, that he then is one who can save us. He's strong to save, to hold us. And the whole image of a hand is one that's also that creates, so that in Scripture you have the hand, it's a mighty hand that can deliver and it holds you. It's a hand that creates and it shapes you and it forms you. And then this goes back into the whole idea of God formed man out of the dust of the earth, and there was no other God that was formed after him. God's hands are the ones that create. God's hands are the ones that make. And this is the whole idea of creation and recreation, that God will deliver you from the devil, and now he's forming you. He's reshaping you into the image of Christ. And this is what a hand does. A hand creates, it delivers, it holds you, and then it shapes you.
There's also Christ in, and this should be pretty obvious, when he says, I am the Lord, and besides me there is no Savior. What do those verses tell us?
Well, again, we know, like you said, this is very obvious, that this word Savior, well, that's what Jesus is. His name is Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. He is Yahweh's salvation. He alone is the one who can save us from our sins. And again, you have this contrast that there is no other Savior. There is only one Savior. There is only one mediator between God and man, and that, of course, is Christ Jesus. And there is no one else who can save us. And not only that, once again, when that claim is being made that God alone is our Savior, we are very clear here. We understand this precisely, that Jesus is not a new or a strange or a different God. He is the one true God. He's the one who comes to save. You'll have this whole image throughout Isaiah that he's the one who will save them. Back in Isaiah 19, when the Father talks about the conversion of the Gentiles, he says that they will cry out to him, and he will send them a Savior, a defender, a deliverer. So this language of a Savior is one who he defends, one who delivers, one who rescues. That's what a Savior does, is he will take us from the clutches of the devil. The devil cannot hold on to us. God will deliver us. And you'll have these passages in the New Testament very clearly, like in Acts, when the apostles are proclaiming that this is the one Savior. In Acts chapter 5, where you have the message that God has exalted him in the ascension to his right hand as Savior, and he's going to give repentance and the forgiveness of sins. Or later on in Acts chapter 13, that God has brought to Israel a Savior, who is Jesus, just as he promised. So Jesus is the promised Savior. Jesus is the one who alone can save us from our sins and save us from the devil. Now, when you change this message, you change this to a different kind of a Jesus, then you have a different kind of a God. There is one God, and he is the one who saves us. If you have a different Jesus, it's not the one true God. It is a false God. It's a false Jesus that is not a Savior and cannot save.
And that same verse, verse 12 there, also says, "And you are my witnesses." What does that mean?
Well, this testimony, a witness, like the apostles themselves are sent out as eyewitnesses. And remember, we've used this language before, that a prophet is a seer, a seer, that is. He sees what God reveals to be proclaimed so that we can see the vision. We can see how God has appeared to us. Well, the eyewitnesses of the apostles, of course, are those who have seen God in the flesh, as John will talk about, that he dwelt among us. The Word who was in the beginning was with us. We saw his glory. We touched him. We heard him. He was there. And so they were these eyewitnesses. So these witnesses are the ones who will see what God has done, and they will proclaim it. And this is what happened in the Exodus when the people saw the great deliverance from the hand of Pharaoh, which points to the greater deliverance from the hand of the devil. And as those who are eyewitnesses, they will bear witness to this, and they will proclaim it.
Then with about a minute and a half here before we have to wrap it up, Christ in the one who, as it says there, "I am doing a new thing." About a minute and a half, Pastor Ketchelmeyer.
Yeah, this is the whole point of the New Testament, that Christ comes to bring a New Testament in his blood. And when he does this, he comes to restore and make a new creation, a new heavens and a new earth. He's making things new. And this is what Isaiah was saying in the previous chapter, too, where he says, "Look, the former things have come, and I've declared new things to you. I've announced them to you before they have sprouted up. And you are to sing a new song to Yahweh." And this new song, of course, is in the redemption that we have in Christ. He is doing something new. He is renewing us. He is making us a new creation so that there is no longer any condemnation for those who are in Christ, are being restored into the image of the Son. So this is the language of a new thing. He is doing something different. Not only will we be delivered from an earthly king like Pharaoh, but something new. We will be delivered from the devil himself. And this won't be just for the Jews like it was in Egypt, but it will be for all people that he will bring to be his church.
Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico. He's host of a weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy. Next week, we'll find Christ in Isaiah 62, Zion's new name. Brian, thanks for being our guest.
Great to be here, Todd.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to discuss Christianity and philosophy. Dr. Gregory Schultz will be our guest. We'll talk with Pastor Chris Rosebro of Fighting for the Faith about This Week in Pop American Christianity. And it is the beginning of a new year. We have a tradition here on the first Friday of the new year when we're back live to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Year. What we've done is we have taken the five soundbites that got the most votes over the course of 2015, and this is your opportunity tomorrow on Issues Etc. to pick which of those five best vote-getters ought to be Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Year. You'll find them at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. You can listen to them there. You can also vote at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. We've left some space there for you to vote for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Year, facebook.com/issuesetc. You can also vote by phone. You can give us a call then, or send us an email. In the meantime, talkback@issuesetc.org or a tweet at @issuesetc. We'll be giving away the LPR bundle package, which we always do when we play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. But because it's also Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Year, we'll be giving away all of the Issues Etc. books of the month to the listener with the best vote for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Year tomorrow on Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
When you need a friend, you have a friend in Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, and friends among his people at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Arnold, Missouri. At Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, we offer Christ-centered word and sacrament ministry, inspirational liturgical worship services, and faithful preaching and teaching. Sunday worship services are at 9 a.m. Sunday school and Bible class are at 10:30. We also have an excellent Christian preschool. We invite you to join us. Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, 2211 Tenbrook Road, Arnold, Missouri, 636-296-1292.
You can receive 50% off the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic Series during Logia's special Reformation Sale. Books like The Church by Professor Kurt Marquardt, Christology, Law and Gospel and the Means of Grace, and Baptism by Dr. David Scare, and Eschatology by Dr. John Stevenson. Browse before you buy at logia.org. You'll even find essays by Issues Etc. regular guests for as low as $2. Logia's Reformation Sale, logia.org. L-O-G-I-A.org.